Hello.
Hello.
Hey, hey.
Welcome to my podcast home.
Your podcast home?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
So, I have a couple of topics to talk about, unless you have a topic you want to bring to the table.
Honestly, no. Actually, I don't. I'm kind of perplexed on what topic to bring up, because I don't really follow the news as much as probably everyone else does.
Yep.
So we're kind of like, you know, something happened. It's like, oh, really? What happened? Then you kind of have to kind of go into it and look and see what the disaster was of that week, because it just is always seems to be something going on lately.
Yeah, no kidding. Actually, I'm in regards to real news, like, I don't know, like all the bad stuff, I am totally out of the loop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they said, I think it was a growing up, one of our teachers said, if you want to have a good day, don't read the newspaper.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
exactly.
There's nothing, yeah, there's not really much in there. The only real good news that you can find anywhere is usually on your Facebook page when someone posts, like, cute kittens or dogs or puppies and stuff like that. It's the only place you can get it nowadays, it seems.
I like that, too. You know what? I'm one of those guys, if you put something cute on there, I'm okay with that. I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of fresh. I saw one today. I think it was a kitten. It showed cats with, like, infants. So, I mean, they were either having a nap together or rolling around together. It was pretty cute.
Yeah. That's real news, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's,
news doesn't always have to be depressing.
I mean, it depends on where you want to have your head at, I guess.
Yeah.
If you want to bury yourself in misery, then go right ahead.
So before we go into a topic...
Okay.
Did you, I don't know if you saw, I posted the, I sent you some pictures, some dome pictures. So a little bit of dome news, I guess we could share here. The pictures I sent in our messenger group there.
Oh, when did you do that?
Days ago. Like on the weekend.
Oh, okay.
I did it on the weekend.
Oh, right. Yeah, no. You had five or six pictures, but you said you had like 500 of them.
I got 200. Actually, yeah, so I was going to go through them and start deleting them, and I'm like, wait a minute.
No, don't delete any.
No. Well, what I realized is what Corey, our friend Corey Taves, who has been kind of sort of on the podcast before,
mm-hmm.
he took pictures the night of our show, and he took 200 pictures. And
yeah,
some of the pictures,
great.
Some of the pictures he took them in bursts. So it's like click, 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 click. So if you actually have the pictures... And you go next, 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 next. It actually is animated.
It's like those flip books.
You just print them all out, exactly.
And you just scroll through, and it's almost like an action show.
Exactly like that. Exactly like that. So I'm like, oh, I don't want to, because some of them are like, oh, this is blurry. This is blurry. Wait a minute.
There's some gems in there.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to dump them onto a thumb drive. I just keep them on my phone, I guess. And then we can go through them all the next practice. But there's some really good pictures in there. There is some great video, but the audio quality on it, there is a scratching noise because I guess he was so close to the monitors. It's just, it was clipping so bad. It was just going through all of the video.
Well, unfortunately, the Samsung phone... you know, not to put a shout out to Apple, but they did make their phones for the audio quality. They made it way better for some reason than the Samsung. I don't know why, but when anytime we record anything, when my girlfriend takes video on her phone, the iPhone is way better audio wise. But
well, their home recording equipment,
right,
is really good. It's really pricey, but, like, if you want to use, like, I can't remember what the program's called, but I've talked to, like, movie makers that actually use Apple for editing together their audio clips and that, like, the syncing of the ADR to the video.
Yeah.
There's no other program you want to use. That's what I hear, so.
Oh, okay. Well, you know the Zoom recorder they use with us when we're jamming and stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe they have an attachment that can go, I don't know if it's on the Samsung or on the Apple one. One or the other, I think you've got a thing where you can put it on. It has those two different mics on there.
Ah.
Those condenser mics. So that might be an option at some point. But
Yeah, maybe, yeah. You know, I'd like to look into that. But anyway, would you think of the show on Friday? I mean, we talked about it on the way home and stuff, but for our listeners, what did Don do on Friday?
We did good, actually. I found it was well. The sound was well. I mean, you're in a get that cathedral or that church reverb. This is it. This is the natural reverb. When you click that dial to church or reverb,
that's the setting.
That's the setting. It's huge. And I don't think it's just more the reverb. I think it's because the ceilings are so high.
Yes.
It just envelops the whole room.
Yeah, it's not like it's bouncing, but you can hear your vocal hit. Like when I was listening to my vocal and I kind of stepped forward, I could actually, it's like I could physically see my vocal hit the corners of the room. But it wasn't bouncing. It was full. I had this full.
Yeah. It was a very, very full sound. So
it was almost like, yeah, like singing an opera or something. Like it had that expansiveness to the vocal. Like everything was just sounded so cool.
Yeah, and I know the bass was probably the. I mean, I had it. I think the same settings as I do when we played at the cabaret and that. But it seemed to project more bottom end or boominess or there was something. It just a fuller overall sound.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I thought that was a really good performance on our end. Really disappointed we couldn't play our final song.
But yeah, whatever. Well, I mean, we had four bands, so we had to kind of squeeze them all in within a certain time period. But
yeah.
When we play St. B, I guess we should be able to play a whole set.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought it was neat. I mean, it was a whole different venue. Like it's not your normal. I mean, when you walk into a church and you see these huge pipes from the organ that they have there or whatever you want to call it.
Pipe organ, yeah.
Yeah, the pipe organ. These tubes are just huge, and I'm sure with us playing, they were probably vibrating.
Oh, they had.
And that probably just added to the ambiance.
I think so. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't tell you, but I've been talking to Bill, the guy, the minister that runs that church or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's like, I would love to have you guys back anytime you want. I really enjoyed your show, so.
Oh, good.
That's kind of cool.
Good, yeah. Well, I mean, we're not tearing up the place.
No, well, yeah.
So it was good, and it was a good venue. I mean, it was a dry venue, and I mean, some of the people in the other bands, they had the kids there.
Yeah. It was cool, though.
It was like a church kitchen party.
It was, yeah. We get to see our brothers in Burning Porcelain again.
Yeah.
Which is good.
It was nice to see them again. It had been a while, but it was nice to see them again, for sure. Yeah.
I love playing with those guys.
Great guys.
Whenever we can play with them, I just want to say yes. It's just, I don't know, there's such similarities between the two. It has nothing against the other bands, but there's just this.
The persona is different. They're more to the down to earth. There's no, I don't know how you want to explain it, but they're just like us. They're just a bunch of guys getting together. They
exactly.
Just want to play and
they love their families.
The extent of it.
they're family guys that really love to play music. It's kind of no different than us. So that's why I kind of call them like our brothers. Like they're almost our band. In a way,
it's like a parallel type of band.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I mean, I can't say enough. I really like their music. I could listen to the music all day, and even when they're playing a cover, it's like, usually, oh, okay, the band's playing a cover, whoop de doo. You know, I kind of not a fan of that unless you're a cover band. But right. I like their covers actually fit in well with them.
Very well.
Like it doesn't take away. Anything. It doesn't add anything, but it doesn't take away anything. It just fits in really, really well. Like them playing a cover is like, oh, hey, I know this song. But they're not playing the obvious covers, which is even better. They're not like, hey, we're gonna play the biggest hit by Stone Temple Pilots, or we're gonna play the biggest hit by Soundgarden. No, they're kinda
Yeah, the ones that you've heard over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, like I knew all the covers they played, but I don't think you did.
No.
And you could could you tell the difference between a cover and an original from them?
Well, I mean, I think there was one that I recognized.
Yeah.
Is that the one that you said that
Allison Chains
said that wanted us to play?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Allison Chains song. Yeah, that's probably the most popular cover that they played.
That one I recognize. Yeah. The other ones, no, I didn't recognize any of those.
Yeah. But it was good. Like, a little left to center of popular music for covers. And I think if you're going to do covers, I think a more eclectic cover or a less popular cover is the way to go. Like,
oh, for sure.
Now, looking back and going, God, you know, maybe we could do a cover or two if we approached it in that way.
Yeah, I mean, if we wanted to fill up some time, we'll say, you know what, we got a couple covers, you know, if ever we're stuck, to say that, you know what, say there's a band short or something and we need to extend the set.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with just adding a couple covers. You know,
but not doing something, not doing the biggest hit of that band, I'm saying. Like, I think that would be a good way to go.
Yeah, off the beaten path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do a Kiss tune, don't do Rock and Roll Night.
No.
Do, like, Room Service. Like, you probably don't even know that song.
If I heard it, I might recognize it, but not from the
but that's not a hit, but, you know, like, do something a bit more different. But anyway, right. I'm seriously thinking, like, I want to play that venue again. I mean, it's definitely an affordable venue, but you do have to bring your own gear, like your own PA, lights, that sort of stuff, so.
Yeah, it's a little more, you know, time-consuming to have to set your other things up. But.
So I may have to look into just getting a more powerful PA for our band just to have. Because then the other thing we can do, we can literally book ourselves anywhere. And, you know.
Pretty much, yeah. If you have your own. Because I think at the Belgian club when we used to play there, I think we had to bring our own stuff.
Yeah, we brought our own PA there every time, yeah. So that might be the thing to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm gonna go around and sell some stuff and do that. Unless you're willing to pay for this podcast. You listeners.
Well, if we get enough subscribers, what's that page of people that go GoFundMe page?
I've got a Patreon account page that I just have to turn it on. And I got just a couple more things to add to it, and then I can turn it on, and then we're good to go. But anyway, so I had two topics. You're going to pick the one we're going to talk about. We can talk about the other one at a later time. So these are the two headlines that I'm, like, super, not excited about, but, like, oh, my God, about. So the one headline is Marvel Films, or sorry, not Marvel Films, but Disney, who owns Marvel Films, and who owns Star Wars, and who owns the Muppets, all that stuff. They are in talks of buying the entertainment division of Fox.
Well, they pretty much got every other entertainment division covered.
Yeah. So the general headline is that Fox wants to just focus on news. They want to sell their entertainment division. So Disney, I don't know if Disney put in a bid or shown interest, but whatever, there's basically saying, hey, we could buy Fox. So the byproduct of that is Fox is the company that owns the movie rights to the X-Men and the Fantastic Four.
Right.
Which Marvel Films cannot make any X-Men or Fantastic Four films.
Wow.
Because the movie rights were sold to Fox, like, ages ago. And as long as Fox keeps making movies, then Marvel will never get those rights back. And they've tried. There's been negotiation between the two companies to share, and they've always fallen apart. The other headline is Brian Michael Bendis, one of the architects at Marvel for the last 25 years, who's written more best-selling comics than anyone outside of Stan Lee.
Right.
Has left Marvel and gone exclusive to DC, the competition, after writing for them for probably 20 years or whatever, 20, 25 years. created some of the most popular characters of all time, next to Stan Lee, written some of the biggest storylines. It has probably put more millions in the bank for Marvel than any other creator in the last 20, 25 years.
Wow.
So those are the two headlines. Which one do you want to go with?
Well, we can go with the last one, I guess.
Sure.
Now, the thing is, so you left Marvel and went to DC.
Yep.
So these are, I mean, these are the two rival companies that have been rivals for, well, since the beginning, I
guess.
Since 1961. Yeah. Okay. So now that Disney has bought out, you said they bought out the Marvel, that's going to, no, no, Fox bought Marvel, right? Is that what you said?
No. Disney bought Marvel ages ago.
DC is still on their own.
DC is DC got bought up by Warner Brothers, like, I don't know, 25 years ago. So Warner Brothers, okay. So all the DC movies are all under one umbrella.
Okay, so all the movies that this guy made, he doesn't have any rights to, right?
Oh, no. Yeah, so this guy's not, Brian Michael Bendis that went over is not a movie guy. He's a comic book writer.
Right, he's the writer for...
Tons of comic books. He's written every major character.
What's that?
He's written every major character for Marvel, literally.
Okay, so now he has no rights at all to any of the characters that he created through Marvel. Is that correct?
Oh, okay. Well, hang on now. No writer that works for Marvel has rights to any character they create while working for Marvel.
Right, because they own the licensing for those characters.
They pay you as a writer to work for Marvel, but you don't get to keep any characters you create. They belong to Marvel.
Right.
So him going to DC doesn't mean he gets to bring anything with him.
Right. Now, Marvel, was he expanding on the actual characters?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
So he was a majority figure, basically, in the whole comic section of Marvel.
Yeah, in fact, he was actually the... not only was he a writer on several titles, he was also... I don't know if you call him an editor, but he was basically... They have writing rooms at Marvel, so when anything is going on at Marvel, they decide, okay, next summer we're going to have a big event, and it's going to hit every single title. Mm-hmm. He was like the architect of that. So he's the guy that says, okay, for example, next summer... I've decided that Jean Grey's going to die. And it's going to impact every title. So all the writers that are writing are in conference with him to make sure that all the titles align and all the characters align. There isn't problems with, like, timelines or any of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's pretty much a cattle call to all the writers within Marvel that are going to, you know, he says he wants to do a certain thing, everybody puts their input in, then he kind of goes through it and just kind of, you know, yes to this, no to that, and
yeah,
just kind of takes
some
ideas from here and there. Now, have they ever done a cattle call outside of Marvel? Because, there's so many fans out there, you know, same as Star Wars or any other, you know, thing that people make their own fan sites for. Have they ever gone to have a cattle call open to everybody? This is what we're going for. Give us your story, and then we'll read them, and then we'll pick the best one.
Yeah, have they ever gone to? No. They used, in the old days, there was a whole submissions program for writers and artists and that sort of thing. But they don't really do that anymore. They go pluck writers. So... if you're a comic book writer, it's like the music industry. If you want to get into the comics game, you go independently produce your own comic book and put it out.
Okay.
And then you create your own imprint, which is basically your own label. And then you put your comics out yourself. You pay for the publishing. You pay for the distribution. You get it out. You basically, you know, go city to city and sell your wares. And the comic book companies look at those like, oh, you did really well on your own. We're going to hire you to write Spider-Man.
Okay. So it's not that's like The Voice or American Idol where people, you know, here's what I got to bring to the table. Does anybody,
like that,
you know, want to
close.
Partake?
No, nothing like that at all.
Okay. So it's all contained.
So Brian Michael Bendis, when he was hired, in fact, he was working for indie publishers, and he was plucked from there to write. And they gave him Daredevil, which was poor, incredibly poor in sales. It wasn't a top 10 character. It wasn't even a top 100 comic. He went and wrote it for like 5 years or whatever it was, turned it into a top 10 book, and then they started giving him other things. And eventually, at one point, he was the head guy for all the Avengers titles. Right. So he wrote all the Avengers books when there was a number of them, but also any character that was an Avenger that had their own book, they had to kind of go through him to make sure everything lined up. So, you know, a Captain America book or an Iron Man book, like they all had to go through him.
Okay, so they plucked him basically at the beginning.
Yeah, like a long, yeah.
Because he didn't work for them, he just kind of...
No, he was doing his own books outside of Marvel, and he got hired by Marvel.
Okay, so they found him, basically.
Yeah, he made a name for himself, and they're like, holy crap, this guy's good. He's actually making money on his own, like as an indie guy. He's a really good writer. Let's see what he can do to shake things up over here. Right. And then they gave him a shit title to write.
Right.
And he turned it into a blockbuster. And then they're like, holy shit, this guy's actually can make us money. Let's give him something more. Let's give him something. Let's give him a top book and see what he can do with a top book.
Okay. So was he under contract for a certain amount of years?
Oh, yeah.
Or was he just kind of a free agent and he can go?
I think he was I think he was a free agent, but then he signed an exclusive contract with Marvel at some point. And he was also, he was the guy from Marvel that would talk to Marvel Studios to massage stories through, like, for the movies. So he was like a consultant that would go to Marvel Films to help them with, you know, TV projects or movie projects. Like, he was the go-to guy.
Right. So what is his duties now with DC?
I don't know. Like, I think he's still finishing up his contract at Marvel, so I don't know what role he's going to have at DC. But based on his reputation, Jeff Johns was the equivalent guy at DC. Same exact situation. He was the spearhead for everything. And eventually Jeff Johns has now moved on as the movie consultant at DC. And he's the go-to guy. Like, he helped work on Wonder Woman. He's helping them work on Justice League, like all the DC movies. He's the guy they go to. And he's been given like an editor-in-chief position or something like that at Warner Brothers. Or at DC. So he doesn't really have... I think his comic writing days and his head writer days are done because he's too busy with other stuff.
So now they've hired this guy.
Yeah, so I think they're going to bring Bendis in basically to take over that, you know, that godfatherly role of looking after everything. That's my guess. I don't know for sure, but that's my guess.
Oh. Hmm.
Is there a promotion? No, it's probably a lateral move, but I'm sure Warner Brothers has a lot of money, so I'm sure they're giving him more money, too.
Now, are they both based in the same area, or did he have to travel halfway across the world?
Marvel and DC both have their offices in Manhattan in New York, actually blocks away from each other.
Yeah, keep your friends close and your enemies close.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, then I guess it doesn't affect him a lot having to, you know, uproot and leave, so it's...
But, so, I mean, you can write from home anyway, so nowadays.
Right. So what was the... Was there an actual question?
Well, I just wanted to get your opinion on what you think of... What, like, DC acquiring this guy, what, like, politically, why, like, is there a reason they're doing it? Is there a political reason for it? Is it a creative decision? I'm just curious what you think based upon all that information. I like getting your perspective because you don't know the comic world or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I always like getting your side.
Yeah, and all the people you've mentioned, I don't know any of them.
No, exactly.
I mean, the characters, I know the characters, but the people behind the characters, I have no idea. The only person I know was it Hanson with the Muppets. That was the only... person I knew that was kind of behind the scenes, but for the comic world, well, I mean, if he's been with, what I don't understand is if he's been with his company almost, well, not probably since inception, but I mean, he's worked with these characters for years and years and years. Why he would leave? That I don't know. If that was that his own.
Yeah, no, there was no animosity. Like publicly, it's like, you know, I've accomplished everything at Marvel that I, you know, beyond everything, beyond my greatest expectations. Right. And I want to grow, and I've never got a chance to play in the DC playground, and I want to play. I want to see what it's like to play over there.
Right.
So it's like I've never been able to do it. It's like, yeah, some guys go back and forth all the time between the two companies. He's been a loyal Marvel guy forever.
Oh, I see. Yeah, but the characters, seeing that the characters are owned by the companies, I guess they're pretty much free to do whatever they want as long as they're not, you know, writing the same character for the other company, because then they get sued, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he has the potential of writing Superman or Batman, right, or any of the big wigs and making, you know, dramatic changes like he did at Marvel and shaking the company up exactly like he did at Marvel.
See. Now, you're saying that there's a lot of people that kind of go back and forth, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's freelancers, right? They're not exclusive, so they might work, right, 6 months here and then 6 months there. You know.
Right. So this guy was on the payroll as a full time person.
Pretty much, yeah.
He wasn't under contract. He wasn't like doing.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Like, if he was there that long, I believe that's what his setup was.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know what the security is out there, because I know, you know, Canada and U.S. I don't know if, like, retirement. I know how that works. You know, if you leave the company, if that all gets transferred over, how that all works.
Trust me, Bendis was paid very, very, very well.
Right. Oh, I'm sure he's getting paid very well at DC also.
Oh yeah.
Otherwise, I don't see why he would move. But I mean, you get a couple of different types of people. You get the people that bounce from job to job. Not that these guys do that all the time, because there's only very few companies that you can, you know, do your doing your comics and stuff with. But you know what, the security, I mean, the only thing I think is boredom or just a different scenery. I mean, you've been doing the same thing over and over and over and over, you know, for a number of years. And after a while, it's like, you know what, you only live once. You want to see what the other side is, maybe.
Yeah.
You want to try something different. I can see that as part of the reason why he would have maybe went over. Maybe he's got people that he used to work with Marvel, now they're over at DC. He's, you know, figures that maybe they've enticed him. Maybe they figure, you know, why don't you come, you know, work on this side? You've been doing that for, you know, umpteen years. You know, must be getting bored. You know, you just seen the same characters over and over, and then you.
Well,
also,
it's like,
you know,
it's like writing the same. If you have like a TV, you're a writer on a TV show, mm-hmm. say Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and you've been writing Buffy the Vampire Slayer for 10 years.
Forever. Yeah.
Like, there's only so many things you can do with the character after a while. Like, he's reinvented Marvel over and over again and found new ways to make those characters interesting. But those characters are 60, 70 years old.
Right.
If you think about it. So every permutation of every story has probably been written about those characters.
Yeah.
So, but he's never, you know, done a Superman story or never done a Batman story. So it's like, wow, I've never... Like, he's probably used up all his ideas on every Marvel character you can think of. And it's like, well, I don't know what else I can do with these guys now.
Yeah, well, I mean, these characters have these abilities. And that's pretty much where they're, that you can't have them having new abilities. I mean, maybe you can, but I can't see that happening. But it's like, you know what, if I had... you know, such and such character that belongs to DC, this is what I would do.
Yeah.
And he's probably had these ideas in the back of his mind for years, too.
I'm guaranteed he has, yeah.
Yeah, and he's thinking, okay, well, this character and that character, like, you could, you know, tweak a little bit in there. Because he's obviously done it with the Marvel characters already. Yeah. So now, I mean, if he's like, okay, I'm ready, let's do it. Like, go to DC, okay. Depending on how much reign he has, if he's got the same amount of access as he did does with DC than he did with Marvel, then obviously he's going to, you know, he can go to town. Like, it's like an open slate. Like, and here's your characters, here's all their abilities, the storylines, like,
and he's going to be, like, given the best artist too. I mean,
I'm sure
he commands that presence, right? Just to give you an idea, like I used to be a big Bendis fan once upon a time, but I think the last, he's starting to get a little tired and, you know, running out of ideas, but,
right.
He actually teaches at college. He teaches a writing course.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember exactly where, but like, you know, pretty cool. Like to actually, you know, to have your writing taken seriously, like you're writing funny books, ultimately, but to write funny books, but to be taken seriously enough that you are a course in college, like in one of the universities or whatever. Like that's pretty cool.
Now, is this like for writing panels for your comics, or is he just a writer?
As writing, but he's a comic book writer, so
right.
You know, I don't know. It's pretty cool. I guess there's not really much to say about it. So I just, when I heard this had happened, it's like it's not a bombshell, and it's like, oh my god, that's controversial. You know what? That's actually really cool. Yeah, it's a shift. So yeah,
it's a different shift. Yeah.
What does that mean for Marvel? Like Marvel's like, you know, hey, good for you. You know, thanks for all the work you did. But they're going to have to put someone in that chair at Marvel. And Brian Michael Bendis never took that position. It was a position that they crafted around him because of everything he was doing. And like, that's my perception of it is, you know, there was never that position. It's just like, holy shit. Like this guy's idea is so big. We can't, you know, we can't just contain it to one title. Like we need to do crossovers and all this stuff. And, you know, people loved his writing. Like, you know, he's just that good.
Here's the question for you.
Yep.
Okay. So with all this going on, do you still buy comic books? Okay. Now, is this going to affect what you buy? Are you going to go, oh, geez, I want to see what this guy's, I'm sure they'll make an announcement or there'll be something in the news saying, okay, these will be the first ones released with his, you know, with his.
Yeah, I probably, DNA you know what, thing. I am probably going to try a couple. Like, he's probably going to be writing two or three titles for sure. Because he's a guy that would, you know, he could put out four or five titles a month. Easy.
Yeah, good. Because I'm sure you'll be curious to find out, what he's doing.
Now, I haven't bought a DC book in years.
Right.
And there's usually certain creators go to DC and they'll they'll do a year on a book or 6 months on a book.
Right.
I'll be interested to try it just because I follow that. I follow writers. I don't follow companies. But all the writers I follow are at Marvel, so.
Right. But now the thing is, if there was a DC writer, has there been a DC writer in the past that you've been following?
Like for example, this Jeff Johns guy, who's now the movie guy at DC.
Right.
He did a run, I can't remember, it was like a 8-issue run at Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I definitely bought it because I'm like, holy, like the top architect that DC is writing, you know, 8 issues of Avengers. How could I not buy that?
Right.
So. Yeah, like a name like, and Jeff Johns is a god to me. Like he's a total nerd. He's not cool in any way, shape, or form, but that's why I like him. Like he's not like the most boisterous. He's not like a rock star, going out there and you know being all nuts and making like crazy statements. He's just a good writer. He sits down, you know, puts his head down and writes, and he just loves comics. He's not a personality. But that's what I like about him. That's what makes him cool. Brian Michael Bendis is kind of the same. Like they're guys that you go for coffee with or, you know, hang out with at KeyCon or something. Like the fact that they're celebrities within the industry is cool.
They're low key celebrities.
Yeah.
They're celebrities, but they're not portraying themselves as celebrities.
Yeah. Like, a musician is over the top in performance, right? As a writer, you're just sitting there writing. Like, you know, people aren't watching your performance, watching you write behind your desk. You know, it doesn't quite work that way, right? So,
Well, anyway,
that was a kind of an interesting discussion. But I have arrived at my destination.
Okay.
And Sylvie's probably going crazy with the kids. So I'm going to go in and cap it off here, I guess.
Okay, sounds good.
Alrighty. All right, cool. Do you want to do another one tomorrow?
if you want.
Yeah, let's do another one. Let's cover the Disney wanting to buy Fox and the repercussions of that tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
Awesome. All right.
All right, then.
Unless you have a topic. If you come up with a topic between now and tomorrow, we'll do your topic.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
All right, then. All right.
Take care, bro.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, see ya.
See ya.